Hey, pals. Welcome to Team Up Moves. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Stephanie. And this is the podcast where we play superhero-themed role-playing games and then talk about them.
And we've got a new game, and we're going to get to that in just a sec. But first, I want to pitch a little thing we're doing, a little way to keep in touch with us as social media is a chaotic, disastrous vortex minefield, which actually, you know what? That might be a good villain in the future, Steph.
Chaotic, disastrous, vortex, minefield.
Yeah.
I feel like that's four different villains who combine into one villain like Power Rangers.
Okay. All right. I'm going to note that down and then ask you to sign up for our newsletter. If you go to teamupmoves.com and there's no hyphens or underscores or anything like that, just run those three words together, put in your email address, and we will send you a newsletter on our breaks between runs. So in that week, that 2 weeks that we always take off between games, we'll send you a little something, and it's going to have behind-the-scenes photos, commentary, a little bit of setting details that don't make it into the show, and some stuff about what Steph and I have been reading or playing outside of the recordings that we do.
You will learn what we're enjoying in a whole bunch of different genres, including fantasy and science fiction, and what we're playing. And you'll learn stuff about some of those NPCs that delighted and surprised me.
So our first newsletter has just gone out, but you can still read it if you subscribe on teamupmoves.com. Find out a little bit about Winter, our highlighted superhero dispatcher, and, hear a little bit about some of the games that we're going to be doing soon on the show. So I wanted to get that out there at the top in case you skip the outro like you probably should.
Hey.
And teamupmoves.com, subscribe to the newsletter.
I like our outros. Don't skip our outros.
It's got great music, actually. Yeah. Jam along to the music and the outros. But anyway, Steph, what run are we starting up today?
We are going to play and talk about the Sentinel Comics role-playing game published by Greater Than Games and Critical Hit Studios and designed by Christopher Bedell, Cam Banks, Dave Chalker, and Philippe Antoine Menard.
This is going to be one of those superhero team, superhero business, just a lot of mechanisms about punching people, not too many mechanisms about feelings. This is going to be like what a modern take on, say, Champions would be. We brought back some special guests from previous episodes, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing them and their characters. Just a little bit of the rules off the top. Sentinel Comics characters have two sort of main sets of descriptors, I think, is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. You've got your superpowers, and then you have your qualities, which are more kind of learned or mundane, but still important parts of who you are as a person. Each of those that you have has a die size with it between D6 and D12, and any action you take is going to include a combination of the power you're using and then what sort of associated training or quality you have.
But you won't be rolling two dice, you'll be rolling three. The third die corresponds to your status, and your status in the game of Sentinel Comics can be green, yellow, red, or out. When you're green, you're near the beginning of the scene. You maybe haven't gotten too far into it. Things aren't that urgent. People haven't taken a lot of damage yet. And you can use the moves assigned to your character in their green zone. As things progress and maybe get more urgent or scarier, you move into the yellow zone. And when either your character or the scene itself are in yellow, you get more moves to use. When things get worse or scarier or more exciting still, or if you just get hurt more, you are in the red zone and you can use your green moves, your yellow moves, and your red moves. And your status die, the third of those three dice that you roll, corresponds to green, yellow, or red. So you might have a D6 when your character's in green, and then a D8 when your character is yellow, like that.
So action scenes in this game are going to progress. They're kind of on a timer where the tension escalates, the stakes get higher as the turns progress. And in a nod to the board game, Sentinels of the Multiverse, that the Sentinel Comics role-playing game is sort of spun off from, the environment of the conflict is very important and is a separate entity from the heroes and any villains that are in the scene. And so During these action scenes, the environment gets a turn and it's going to be throwing out new obstacles, new minions perhaps that are unaffiliated with the sides, or maybe sometimes giving some people in the scene a little bit of a boost. So I think that's probably enough rules so that y'all can kind of understand the gameplay that you're hearing. So, Steph, what do you say we go to the tape and listen to some Sentinel Comics?
As we say on this show, let's play.
All right, let's do this. Stephanie, are you ready for some superhero business?
Probably. I mean, on principle.
Okay. Are you ready for our very first Team Up Moves All-Stars episode?
That I am ready for.
Well, we are delighted to bring back some folks to play Sentinel Comics here with us. I want to start by introducing a good friend. They are a GM, an educator. They were the whole dang city of New Arcadia in our very first run of Anyone Can Wear the Mask. Please welcome Cece Mancuso. Cece, welcome back to Team Up Moves.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be back.
This is going to be great. I love these character concepts. It's going
to
be so good.
I'm into it. And I would like to welcome back to the show. They are a comics critic and scholar, along with myself, at the Comics XF site. And we have seen them before playing Derek Roble, the human slingshot, on our Champions episode. Please welcome Ian Gregory.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Almost any time.
I want to go around the horn a little bit just so listeners can kind of have the context of who you're playing. Just a one sentence quick. Ian, who are you today?
Straight from Act 4, Scene 1 of Macbeth, I'm playing Weird Sister, the time-separated witch from her coven that famously predicted the downfall of Macbeth. She's here, she's in New Arcadia, and she likes hanging out with the birds.
Now, is this like ripped from the pages, or are we establishing the events of Macbeth as canonical in our shared universe?
If I can be so bold, I would love to posit that all of Shakespeare's works are historical in this universe.
Please be so bold.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad I apparently am doing this show with a bunch of English majors.
Ian, I want to point out that you have just authorized me to create several different characters we're going to see in future runs of this show.
Yeah, I think that Shakespeare really, really missed the mark by not making his plays a cinematic universe.
I have so many questions.
Well, as long as we stick to ones that are parodied in Discworld novels, I'll be able to keep up at least a little bit. Cece, how about you?
So today I'm playing Horatio Holm, aka Timekeeper. He's an irreverent jokester of a formerly college student with a very powerful artifact that allows him to see past, present, and future that he probably should not be trusted with.
Ooh.
It's fair. But of all people, should he be trusted with it the most?
Debatable.
Okay, see where that goes. Stephanie, how about you? Who are you bringing to the table?
I am playing Mona Maxwell Damon, whose hero name is Monomer, and she thinks that you should trust her with what to do and also with your money, because she is the co-discoverer of the Miller compound, which allows heat and cold to go from one place to another super fast. Big Oil is out to get her. They got her partner, and she built an armored suit to show that the Miller compound is safe, effective, and defeats villains.
Nothing says safe and effective like an armored suit.
I mean, the armored suit isn't safe, but the Miller compound is safe.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I guess in a world of superheroes, I think just the sort of the go-tos for product promotion and influencers and that kind of thing, it's a little different than I think what we're expecting. Okay, so we're going to do an opening scene here, and flipping open the pages of our Team Up Moves comic here, it is going to be a full double spread, and it is a shot from above of Grand's Meadow, which is kind of a central park, if you will, in New Arcadia. It is just off of Millennium Square. And this is a place where people tend to hang out. There's maybe some food carts, some other things. And Let's actually ask. So, Horatio, what is your sort of like go to when you go to the Grand's Meadow? Like, what are you going there for?
Well, I don't think he goes there unironically. I think mostly he goes there to make fun of the historical kind of monuments that exist there and their robust seriousness. So I think he's probably most drawn to a series of statues in the northeastern corner of this park, which is a parade of hedgehogs from a popular children's book that he always loves posing with. He takes great joy in ironically interacting with this parade of hedgehogs.
Excellent. And Weird Sister, Ursula, you're a woman out of time, but what is familiar or what is, I guess, interesting about the Grand's Meadow for you?
Ursula loves spending time at the aviary, where she can speak with the birds, literally, receive the latest gossip, get away from the extremely loud automobiles that dominate the rest of the city. It's a moment of peace and quiet from all the confusion of the modern world.
Typically, that is definitely true. However, today in particular, said peace and quiet is disturbed by an entire dang volcano that has erupted in the middle of the Grand's Meadow. And so we have this overhead shot. There is that volcano. It's not like erupting yet, but like heavy plumes of smoke, cracks of lava coming up from the ground around it. A crisis is happening. And so from above, we can actually see a bunch of heroes of New Arcadia. We see a robot that looks like she's made out of cubes of gallium who is directing people away from some downed power lines. A little bit ways away, we see a gigantic man digging furrows in the ground to try to keep lava away from flowing towards the aquarium. We also see what looks like a manticore person holding up a bus that has tipped over while a bunch of civilians are rushing out of it and being directed over to a teleportation circle that is about to disappear. There's just like everyone has been called out for this event. It is affecting the entire city, and it is a really busy, it's a volcano. Like, what do you want? I mean, like, this is not, everyone's on call for a volcano, right? I mean, that's the dispatch rules. So now the three of you have been assigned together, and I think we get a little text box sort of at the bottom of this page. It is Winter on the comms, and she is joking.
Well, it looks like we drew the short straw here, Northeast Quadrant. I've got the three of you. It's hanging, homie.
I think Horatio, or home, is just going to reply, just another day in the park.
All right, well, you take care of yourself. We've got Northeast Quadrant. As you know, that is the Empathy Line station. And certainly no one wants anything to happen to those hedgehogs. Let's see what we can do and keep things safe for the city.
So now let's get those approaching panels. Monomer, how are you entering the park?
I am leaping into the park. And I am ending a somewhat unsatisfying cell phone conversation with the proprietors of the chain audio hut who were refusing to let me demonstrate my product, and you see me shoving my phone into my ankle pouch as I put the rest of my armor on, and then that's a little panel, and then the big panel, you see me leaping into the part of the park that Winter has directed me to, and you see me coming from above as if you, the reader, were standing on the ground, just ending that giant leap out of the city into the park area.
What does that armor look like? What does that sort of power suit you have look like?
So the power suit is white with thick magenta stripes, and it has my name, Monomer, down one arm and down one leg. I want to be absolutely unmistakable and relatively non-threatening. And if you think about a striped Power Ranger, if that were a thing, that's a good start. It is form-fitting. It's not bulky like Iron Man armor. It's supposed to be kind of lithe and fun to watch and almost acrobatic. It fits my build, which is kind of short. I'm kind of a smaller person, and it's too much. It's like
a little try hard.
It's very try hard. Mona has designed this armor herself, and what she's designed is someone who looks like a toy for children, but what she thinks it is a heroic adult armor that everyone can root for. Big, thick white and magenta stripes.
Oh, love it. Ursula, how about you?
Yeah, Ursula, first upon hearing the dispatch, goes, "Is that you, Winter, sweetie? Is this on?" And then vanishes into a storm of crows, which flock about the park and then reform into Ursula at the entrance of the park next to Monomer. Upon doing so, she cackles ominously because Ursula has yet to figure out the heroic aesthetics part of this business, which has caused problems in the past. She wears a long gray robe, has a knotted wooden cane, is hunched over, probably only like 4.5 feet, even though she could be taller. And her only modern affectation is a really nice pair of leather boots.
I think given the importance of Doc Martens in our universe, I have the feeling that Winter probably took her to an outlet to get her those and make sure she knew to break them in and that kind of thing.
Yeah, she probably saw her wandering around in like horrifying sandals from the 16th century and knew she had to rectify that.
I love everything about Ursula. I would already fight and die for her.
Well, you might have both of those opportunities. Timekeeper, Horatio Holm, how are you entering this scene?
I think Holm is entering this scene in the way he enters most scenes, which is looking like he just rolled out of bed. And 90% of the time, that's true. I think he's kind of walking in very casually for the situation through one of the gates of the park, the one that the rest of the team is near. And it's just kind of like rustling his hair and kind of like pulling his clothing into place so he looks a little bit less unkempt. And he's also pulling out of his pocket, we get a close-up panel of this, the artifact that he brings with him to his superheroing business, the Eyes of the Nornir, which is a multi-lens eyepiece that he's kind of like clicking onto, I think, a pair of sunglasses right now, just getting ready for the fight. Probably just flipping back that side of his hair, which is like improbably and not particularly practically long, so that he has actually a clear sight through those lenses.
I have to know. Are they nice sunglasses?
I don't think so. I think these are the kind of sunglasses you buy after you've already lost and or broken about 3 pairs of really nice sunglasses and you've just given up on the whole enterprise.
Probably got them at the park, you know, some Joakleys or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah.
So Winter comes on over the comms, says,
"All right, Monomer, I think you're the senior individual here, begging your pardon, of course, Ursula. So you're going to be, you've been appointed field leader for this. But again, there's a lot of people to rescue, and there's also this volcano, which, again, shouldn't be there, kind of ruining the sledding hill. So why don't you go to it?"
Okay, so I want to look around and see who is in the most immediate danger, because if there's like lava coming toward them, if there's a way I can do something about the lava and just stop the hazard, I'm going to try to do that first. But if that's not going to work, then I'll figure out who to rescue.
Yeah. So let's then talk about how this action scene is set up. So we have ourselves a scene tracker, and it is currently in the green. Things are kind of, you know, there's danger, but it's on the chiller side, at least relative to where it can get. And I've put a handful of challenges on the table for you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a subway stop here. It's on the Empathy Line. Mm-hmm. New Arcadia subway lines are named after virtues. And this has got 2 steps for it. The first one is to make an exit because some lava flows are kind of pouring down the stairwells and, you know, the elevator is out of service.
Yeah.
If you're able to make an exit, you can then rescue folks. There is also that aviary, which has both people and birds in it. So there's that to rescue. And again, there is the question of why is there a volcano? You might want to answer that before it, say, for example, erupts.
Yeah.
So turn order wise, we will start, I think, with Monomer, and you're going to be able to hand it off to another person. And everyone will go in each round, and everyone includes the environment. So it's popcorn initiative. You'll get to pick the next person to go after you're done with your turn. But don't forget, you are going to need to include the environment in the list of people. So, Monomer, what are you up to?
As I land, I want to know something before I make a decision. My inclination is to try to figure out what's going on first, because I'm a science girl. But if I use my action to try to figure out what's going on, are the people trapped in the subway and in the aviary in such immediate danger that they're just going to be roasted?
Not so much like this particular turn.
Okay. Then as I land, I'm going to do 2 things. One is that I'm going to hand Horatio a pair of snazzy-looking branded sunglasses that have the name of my company, Regenis Rain, on the sides and say, here, take these, because I've noticed with the sunglasses. And more seriously and consequentially, perhaps, I am going to use the sensors in my powered suit and my knowledge of science to try to figure out what is happening. I'm going to kneel and put one hand on the ground and extend the other hand in the direction of the smoke and the emerging volcano and try to use my sensors and my, you know, knowledge of physics to figure it out. Is that an overcome?
Yeah, this is going to be an overcome.
Okay.
And I love the way you have set this up, because in Sentinel Comics, typically people will be rolling three dice. The first one is a power, and that's that super suit you mentioned. The second is a quality, your science. And then the third one is the status die, which, because the scene tracker is in the green and because you have not taken any damage yet, you are also in the green. That is going to be your green die. So what are the three dice that you, you're about to throw here?
So I worked hard on my powered suit. That's a D10. I do know a bunch of science. That's a D8. And my green status die is just a plain old D6.
Okay. Are you using any particular ability for this overcome, or is this going to be the basic action?
So has anyone younger been seen to fail at understanding what the heck is going on? Has Winter, for example, told me that another science-based hero doesn't get it?
No, not yet.
Okay, so we're first on the scene.
Well, it's sort of in your quadrant, yeah. And okay. Horatio has also not attempted anything.
Okay, then I'll check something else. It is my belief that if I can show that my Miller compound-based powers help stop the volcano, that will be really good for my business. So can I use the principle of business here?
Yeah, I'll allow that.
Thank you.
This means you get to overcome, and normally you use the mid die. Mm-hmm. Now you get to use your max die. So,
okay.
See what you got.
Okay. And that is a 6, a 2, and a 4. So I get to use the 6.
Okay. So looking at our sheet here, for a 6 and overcome, the action succeeds, but with a minor twist.
Okay.
So for this minor twist, let's see. I think that I can sort of consult some things I've prepared here about the environment, as well as things that actually you have prepared on your character sheet. So you want to use that principle of business. What is the minor twist suggestion for principle of business?
The minor twist for principle of business is that I am always looking at the bigger picture for the business and its product. I've got one eye on what the consequences are going to be for the business that I run.
Okay, so let's do this. You definitely are going to find out about something, but I think that because you are kind of really trying to show off that you are the person who is doing it, I think that I want to hinder you with that min die. So you're going to get a minus one for your next action because you're torn between doing the thing, but also making sure you're visible. So it's not, you're not necessarily going to be doing things in the most efficient way.
That is in character.
Yes. So we're just going to write down a minus one showing off on this, and let's talk about what you figure out. And that is, you're able to kind of use your science and other sensors to actually, you kind of get like a little bit of like a materials thing off of this. And you realize that the rock and the lava and those things, like, they should be sort of by current standards, you know, millions of years old, right? You're kind of carbon dating of things that are in the sediment and that sort of stuff. This seems a lot fresher than it should be, which you're putting together to understand that this entire volcano and magma situation is from the past and has been brought forward.
All right.
So while I check off, figure out what's going on for Volcano, Monomer, who are you tossing it to in the turn order?
So can I talk while tossing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's thematic.
Okay. I am going to tell Horatio that the whole volcano has come here from the distant past. It's a time thing, and it's time for you to shine.
All righty then.
That's good mentoring, Monomer.
Yeah. Now would be a great time for you to take initiative, Holm. So Holm is a time boy because he has the eyes. I think I don't want this action to be redundant because I think we've already somewhat figured out where the volcano comes from. But I do feel like Holm, through the eyes, has the ability to at least attempt to peer into the past of an object. And I'm curious if maybe he could attempt to do that in order to divine not just that it came from the past, but who maybe sent it here or what.
Okay, yeah. So I have added to the challenge that there is a three-step sort of section of this to find out what is actually causing this to come forward.
Okay.
So you've got the what, you don't have the how. And then once you figure that out, you'll need to get to it and then, you know, stop it, reverse it, kind of what have you. So yeah, if you want to kind of do step one on the find part, why don't we do that? That would be another overcome.
Okay, so this is an overcome, and I am using, let's see. So if I'm not using a specific ability, I'm just using a power, a quality, and then one of my status dice?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So I think this is definitely post-cognition, right? Trying to peer into the past of an object. So that gets me a D6. Let's say otherworldly mythos. It feels like that otherworldly knowledge is what's necessary here via the eyes. So we will grab ourselves a D10. And then, as for the status dice, mid-dice? I don't remember.
Nope, so you're still in the green.
Oh, I'm in the green. Okay, understood. All right, in which case, another D6. Cool. Here's my pool. Let's see how it goes. Okay, I have three numbers. Which number shall I give you?
The mid die for just a basic overcome action.
The mid die is a 3.
Ooh, okay. So this either it fails or succeeds with a major twist.
Ooh.
Well, we have with Holm the principal of the debtor who's come to collect. We also have the principle of levity, which is what has occurred to finally break your good spirits. Either of those are on the table.
Those are pretty heavy. Do you want a major twist off of this?
It's hard to say. I think it would be nice to try out the mechanic, but it also feels early in the scene narratively for things to be dire. I think I'm okay with Holm failing this.
Yeah. You're trying to sort of look around into, you know, sort of the recent past kind of in the area of the volcano, and you're not getting anything.
Fair enough.
Who's going next, timekeeper?
I think it's only fair that Weird Sister gets a crack at the situation before we have the environment jump in and intervene.
Okay, Ursula.
Well, I see something that I can help with right here, which is to make an exit in the empathy line.
Okay, how are you doing that? What is your goal here?
I'm going to approach, and I'm going to speak sibilant words of deep, unknowable magic power and transform into a giant toad, whose bulk and extreme strength will let me clear a path open for everyone trapped inside the subway station.
Beautiful.
Giant being like probably 10 feet tall, maybe a little bigger. You know, this is like a Naruto style toad, right?
Dig it.
So not just big for a toad, but like big for a thing.
Big for anything, yeah. So change forms lets me take a basic action using shapeshifting, then switch to any available form. So I'm going to do shapeshifting, magical lore, and my status die of D6.
Okay, so this is an overcome to try to clear an exit on the empathy line.
Okay, I got a 5, a 5, and a 9.
So 5 there being the mid, that puts you in action succeeds, but with a minor twist. So there's kind of lava flowing down the stairs. Are you like going to try to stop the lava or just like new hole down?
Oh, definitely new hole. I'm barreling forward.
All right, love it. So just like straight down this giant, again, like now 10 foot in diameter sort of tunnel. You definitely get down there. You're making an exit that would allow people to come up. But I mean, look, there is a group of people in New Arcadia who they're not superheroes, so they can't kind of like get the clicks and the likes off of that. But let me tell you, if you've got a good I got rescued by something amazing video, whew, you're going viral with that. So 10-foot toad absolutely qualifies. So you get down there and some people are like, great, I'm going to go get safe by running on my own. Some people have whipped out their phones and are doing like a selfie thing of streaming their rescue. And so like these folks who are now not going to be like entirely cooperative are going to be hindering any attempts to rescue folks. And so I'm going to roll the dice for the environment. And this is your minor twist here, to see kind of how much of a problem these folks are going to present for everyone else getting out of the empathy line. So the environment also has three dice. It's got a D6 to represent the supernatural landscaping. A D8 is representing the choking ash. Haven't really mentioned that, but, you know, it might be coming. And D10 here for the lava flow. So those are, in some sense, just flavorful thematic imagery, and they give me three dice. Okay, so my mid die on this one is a 2, and that puts us just at a general, like a minus 1. This is going to be a pretty persistent hindering to trying to rescue folks on the empathy line. You can just deal with the minus 1 as you're doing this, or you could overcome or make a sort of an opposite boost to get rid of it later on. But I'm going to update the sheets here, and you have made that exit, and we are going to put the save me's here, I think is kind of the slang for them. And that is the end of Weird Sister's turn, which means there's nothing left but the environment. So first thing I do is I'm checking off the scene tracker. So that's our first green box gone. And then I am going to do a environmental effect. Let's do this. So we mentioned some of that choking ash and other things. There is kind of a billow of ash that is now like coming out of the volcano. So I'm going to roll and make a hinder off of that for anything visual. Mm. This is going to cut down the amount that people can see. So if you're going to be doing a thing that requires looking in the immediate present, I should say, clarify on that count, there will be ash in the way. And that's a 1. So this is just a negative 1. But that is, again, affecting quite a bit of things. Okay. So that is the end of the scene tracker's turn. And I'm not allowed to choose myself. So I am going to have to pick it up with someone else. Let's actually sort of, since we're focused on that action in the subway car, let's start over with Weird Sister. And now another thing we can start doing as well is if you want to kind of give the next person in line like a heads up at the beginning of your turn, like, hey, I think I'm gonna go to you. Like, you're not like locked down on that, but just sort of a courtesy. That way they can be more ready. Ursula, you'll be up first, but who you think you're gonna go to after you?
I'm gonna pass to Monomer next. So,
all right. So Monomer, get ready.
So I'm down there. My original thought was to have people climb on my back as I am a giant toad. But are there just people who aren't moving?
I mean, you know, like the stream is happening. Yeah, they gotta get all of the attention. They're prolonging this, I would say.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to. Maybe the best I can do is give them an even better show to stream. So I'm gonna sort of turn around, like let out a little croak, and by little croak, this is like a deep bass that resonates down the halls of the subway. And then I'm gonna sort of wiggle my back, like get on here. And then if I get enough people on me, I'm gonna just take a giant leap straight out of this hole that I made to get them to the surface.
Oh, sweet. All right, so is there an ability on this, or is this going to be a basic thing?
So in toad form, I have a D6 power for leaping. I'm not sure if I have an appropriate quality for leap. My qualities are magical lore, history, poetry, and close combat.
So what is your sort of like your quality that's your specific role-playing quality, your custom quality?
What do you mean by that?
So you get to have one of the qualities that's sort of like a the sort of the fate equivalent of the high concept.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, do you not have one of those?
I did not see one when I was making my thing, but I may have misread.
Okay, yeah. So that's under where you're choosing like your personality. So why don't we put that in here if you like? And I think that could probably apply in this situation.
I imagine it's magical lore.
I have a proposal.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Because this is the custom quality that you get to make up yourself, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I would propose that for Weird Sister, her custom quality is gumption.
Gumption. Why is that? I like this idea, but
I just feel like it's that particular brand of orneriness that you get from people who kind of have been around the block. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm just gonna do this because because I'm going to do it and no one can stop me. Like, I feel like that's the quality that Weird Sister would bring specifically.
Yeah, Weird Sister has seen it all, and she's also seen everything that hasn't happened yet.
You and me both, sister.
Okay, gumption.
So sort of gumption of the aged, kind of gumption of the experienced. Yeah, okay.
Precisely.
Okay, so it would be jump, gumption, and my status die.
Yeah, let's do it. So now, do you have an ability on this?
I do not have an ability that's relevant to this. All of my abilities involve changing in and out of forms or...
Gotcha.
...or hitting people very hard.
All right, so so roll this as a basic overcome then. We'll take the mid die, and it is going to be minus one because of those save me's.
Okay, that's a 3 minus 1, so it's a 2.
Ooh, all right. So this is going to be action fails or succeeds with a major twist.
I'm going to be honest, I'm a little afraid of what this action failing might look like for these poor people riding on my back. And since we already turned down a major twist earlier, I say I'm going to take the major twist and succeed.
Oh, I love that. All right. So I am going to, first of all, check off a rescue, folks. So you've got one down out of three. But as you are leaping out of this hole with people on you, and again, being a gigantic toad, the ground becomes unstable. You know, it would anyway. The volcano makes it worse. And so there's sort of cracks in the ceiling of this underground station where lava is starting to pour down into it. So I am now going to put a timer on this empathy line rescue. It's going to be a two-turn timer. And so this now means that the empathy line is going to get a place in the turn order. And so if y'all don't get everyone out by then, it is going to collapse in lava. And that is the major twist off of this success.
Oops.
You know, I hate that for us, but I love that as a mechanic.
Same.
I offer a penitent croak.
And let me tell you, the people on your back, lots of likes, really good video. The people not on your back, lava coming from the ceiling. This is amazing.
Good content for everyone.
So aesthetic.
Absolutely. Okay, is Monomer still up next?
Yeah, Monomer.
All right, Mona, what you got for us?
So can I see what just happened down there? Is it visible to me?
I think that it is. You are a little far away and the ash clouds kind of make it sort of hard. But I think you hear the crash of a gigantic toad exiting the earth. So I'm going to say you're aware of what's going on.
Okay, so can I tell that the lava is threatening the remains of the station and making the exit unstable?
Yes.
I can figure that out. Okay.
Sure thing.
So I'm going to leap over there while announcing the Miller compound has got you. It's cool. And I'm going to use my cold power and my alertness, which shows me where to make it cold, to try to cool down and ideally freeze everything, which would make the earth stuff that was turning to mud and melting stable again and stop the lava from moving at least for a while in that area.
Okay. So mechanically, what I would give you on this is we're not stopping that timer, but it does buy sort of some time for some people to get rescued. So I would check a box off on the list if you're successful on this. Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense.
All right.
So I'm going to land over there as close as I can get to the earth on top of the subway station that Weird Sister's trying to get the people out of. And you know, while saying it's cool, put both my hands on the ground and make it happen.
Okay.
It's cool.
It's cool, yeah.
You're making it cool.
I've read enough Iceman comics.
Yeah.
I am, again, showing off what the thing that my company sells can do, so I want to use the principle of business again. Is that...
Yes, okay. Now, you will still have that minus one from your previous minor twist. You mentioned sort of using your suit to sort of see where it's hot, so I think that you don't get the penalty from ash clouds, right? I think this can be like a thermal sort of thing, but there is going to be that minus one off of the save me's.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm taking a position where I'm most visible instead of the ideal but partly hidden position that would be the best for temperature control. So that's the minus one I am showing off. I'm using my cold powers to do this. So that's a D10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using my alertness to figure out, you know, the second best position. So that is another D10. And my green status die is still a D6. So let's see what happens.
Okay.
I am really glad that I can use the principle of business here because the max die is an 8.
Okay.
And the mid die is pretty bad, but we don't care.
Well, so those minus 2s bring it down to the action succeeds, but with a minor twist.
Okay.
Let me sort of think about, I've gotten a lot of minor twists on this, mm-hmm. on this thing.
It's a whole licorice stick here.
What's your other principle?
The principle of the mentor. I think that I'm teaching people about science, but I also want to teach people that science is great so that they should
buy your product,
use our product, which to be fair is a great product, but it's the principle of the mentor where I want to show people stuff and teach them stuff.
What's your mid die?
The mid die on that is a 2.
Okay. Let's do this as your minor twist. Because you sort of are coming down and kind of needing to get close in order to do this, you do take some damage from the heat and that kind of thing around you. I know you're kind of armored, so this might be reduced some, but by default, it's going to be 2 damage.
That makes sense. My initial health is 32, and so my health is now at 30.
I think you have an ability, though, to reduce damage.
I do. Is this energy damage?
No, actually, I don't think so. This is like heat damage.
So it's elemental damage.
Yeah.
While I'm in green, I don't reduce elemental damage. I reduce physical or energy damage.
Okay.
When I'm in yellow, I can start turning elemental damage into a boost for myself. But while I'm in green, my armor is not built to do that. So I do take the damage.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we're going to get to yellow too. Yellow soon. So we do get to, again, check off on the rescue folks. So that's good. So remaining to go are Timekeeper, the lava threatening the empathy line, and the environment. So just as a heads up, you do have one more person to rescue, or one more group of people to rescue on the empathy line. I may be able to do some environment to timer back to the environment shenanigans. So just be aware of the turn order. But you do get to pick who goes next, Monomer.
So I want to give Timekeeper something to react to. And I think I'm going to pick the environment.
All right. So let's see. We now check off the second green box on the environment, which now puts us into the yellow. So everyone's status is at least yellow. That unlocks those abilities. It does, however, unlock some more intense twists. And let's go with them now. Okay. There's a lot of weird stuff in the past. Just, you know, things that people don't know about. Science has not yet discovered my DA. There it is. Cool. Okay. So you're kind of hanging out over by the, you know, by the empathy line and looking back down towards the volcano in the center of the park. There are some like cracks and fissures that open up, and these like kind of worm-like creatures that are probably about, you know, good 3-4 feet long each, made out of magma, start pouring out of the cracks of the volcano along its side and start sort of seeping out and seeking out into the park. So that is our minor twist. We got 5 lava worms, and I'm going to make a note of them. And then I'm going to kick things over to the timer. So structurally, the empathy line, you know, there's like maybe a big chunk falls through and the lava flow starts pouring in more heavily. And then finally, back to Timekeeper for the last action of this round.
Okay. So things are reaching a critical point with the empathy line. We're soon going to be engaged directly with hostile sentient lava worms.
Do we know they're sentient?
Yeah, you probably don't know about their mental capacities.
Fair enough. I shouldn't assume. I think Timekeeper is going to attempt to leap into danger in the increasingly unstable empathy line and try and seal the deal on rescuing the last of the folks who are still trapped there. As far as how he's doing that, beyond just embracing the complete recklessness of this action, I am unsure.
Well, I mean, again, for someone who can see the recent past or the future, maybe there's some sort of angle or advantage you can get on that. There's also, if we're, you know, trying to get people out, any sort of social abilities to convince them.
All right. Let's call this precognition. He's going to try and use the eyes artifact in order to see the path that the lava is going to take in order to best direct the people around it for his quality. He's definitely going to be leaning hard on his banter here as far as trying to joke with people, but also get them to put down their phones and actually participate in the saving of their own lives. And then, of course, we are in the yellow, so I'll grab a D8 for my status die.
All right. Is this going to be a basic overcome, or do you have an ability on this?
I think if I am in the situation of overcoming a dire situation where my jokes prevent demoralization, then I might just be using the principle of levity.
Yep. Works for me.
Okay.
See what the max die says. Still minus one off those save me's, though.
Okay. So we've got a D10 for precognition. We have another D10 for our banter because our boy is just that good. And then we have a D8 for our status dice. Let's see how we do. Oh my goodness. Holm's not having a good day.
Oh no.
Our max die, rather unfortunately, is a 4.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Okay, so that goes down to a 3 then, because those, I don't know, the joke's maybe not landing with those save me's. The action fails or succeeds with a major twist. This is your choice, Holm.
I think I'm going to accept the major twist here. I'm going to propose, given that I'm trying to use levity to get these folks to do the right thing, I think maybe there's something that happens that somewhat breaks my good humor.
I've got another idea.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And I think that as you're down there, Kraken Wise, sort of performing a little bit for all of these cameras, Horatio, someone watching on stream recognizes you. I think that's going to be our major twist. We're going to leave that hanging for the future.
I'm doing jazz fingers. I know you can't hear that, but I'm doing jazz fingers right now, just for the suspense.
All right. So let me note that down. But you have gotten the last of the folks out of the empathy line as you're, you know, I think that things are maybe crashing behind you. Everyone's keeping their cameras on you because the jokes are that good, but they are saved.
Understood.
All right. One second while I sort of set up the bookkeeping here, and you will get to choose who goes next, and it's going to be anyone but yourself, because it'll be a new round.
Okay. Can I just say I love the idea of Holm just improvising some kind of stand-up set on technology and its effects on our social culture. There's something beautiful about that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
What I like even more is the organized crime people who were eagerly like watching this stream and then being like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, you know, like you do.
Uh-oh.
All right, so who's next?
I think I'm going to pass the mic to Weird Sister.
Okay.
So just sort of to remind folks what's on the table, the aviary, no one has rescued the people or birds from there. And we still do have this question about the volcano. But you did save a bunch of folks. Oh, also, and if you want to look around at all, ash clouds, that is still there.
And we've got these lava worms on the loose.
Oh, yeah, lava worms. They're going to act during the environment's turn.
Are they headed towards people? Are they being menacing, or are they just sort of chilling?
They are heading out. They don't look like they're like aiming to attack anyone. They don't seem like predatory. But as they move, they leave these furrows in the ground that are filling up with lava.
Oh, boy. Oh, jeez. Okay. I think I know what I want to do. How far away am I from the aviary, being near the empathy line?
200-300 feet, maybe.
Oh, close. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to close some of that distance, and I'd like to call my familiar.
All right. So what is this? What is mechanically what is happening here?
Oh, boy. Hang on. I have to go to the minions page of the rulebook. All right. So I'm using call familiar, which allows me to gain a D8 minion. And I'm summoning one of the classic witch's familiars from English folklore, which is sort of like a dog or hyena on four legs that has a human face.
Okay, that's terrifying. And I think that probably as you're chanting or whatever to make this, Winter, I think, says,
I know what you're doing, and I'm so glad I don't have visuals right now.
So a D8 minion, yeah, you will get to direct its actions. And as it says, it's going to go before you, so sort of next round. And so unlike the three of you and sort of any big villains you might face that have the three dice, minions and also lieutenants, who we might see later, have one die. And so you're just going to straight roll a D8, and that is going to be, you know, the die for an overcome or an attack or kind of whatever you choose to direct your minion to do. It's a really nice sort of stats simplification
yeah.
part of the Sentinel Comics system. Does your minion have a name?
Okay, this is driving me crazy because it does have a historical name that's really funny, and now I can't find it. So I'm just going to call him Laughing Jack.
Oh, that's God. Good.
Dig it. Adds to the terrifyingness.
More and more unsettling. Great. Okay, so Weird Sister, that is your entire action. So who are you kicking it over to?
Let's hand it over to the environment. Let's see what these lava worms are going to do.
All right, so I'm going to check off another box. This is the first yellow box checked off. And so these lava worms are, you know, sort of just moving out. And because of the way they're, you know, digging into the ground and sort of pulling things, basically there's just going to be a lot more heat and lava around. And so this is going to be represented by just some hindering. So I'm going to roll 5 of their dice together. Or actually, let's do it in 2 pairs. Let's do a 3 and a 2. And then that's going to be some bonuses or some mods out there that are going to be hindering your future actions around these lava worms. Okay, so they have dug in really deep around the aviary. And getting into there is, that's actually going to be a -4 on that.
For our heroes, get a -4.
For your heroes, yeah.
Ooh.
My goodness.
And then 2 other of them. Okay, that's just going to be a -2 sort of lava kind of in general. Why don't I apply that to the find out what's bringing it forward sort of part of your volcano task.
Oh, my.
Because again, you're sort of figuring that one out. You got to watch your step now. Making things a lot harder. And on top of that, the environment gets to do another thing. And I think that we hear this over the comms from Winter.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. It's her.
And you sort of hear this sort of sound of like flamethrower whooshing as a woman flies through the air. She's got a tank on her back that appears to have some sort of accelerant and sort of flamethrower kind of arm attachments that she's pointing down in order to fly. This is the minor villain known as Flame Jane, and she is coming close to the volcano. She can direct fire and is herself reasonably fireproof, and takes out a megaphone and starts shouting about this is now her domain, and she is going to assume control over it. And everyone who is trying to stop the volcano needs to get out because it's her volcano now. And we'll leave it at that. That is our twist right now in the yellow, is Flame Jane is here. And then I think the environment, let's kick it over to Timekeeper.
All right. Well, I think we've gotten somewhat of a clue as to why this volcano is here. So the project of figuring out exactly how we can send it back feels, at the same time, somewhat redundant and more important than ever, given this new combatant on the field. I think that's going to be Timekeeper's focus in this part of the scene. I think, having failed to look into the past of this object, I think Timekeeper is instead going to try and look into the future of this object to see, in the hopefully inevitable future, how we will, in whatever way we will defuse or disarm this volcano and put it back in its rightful place in time.
Okay.
All right. In which case, we are looking at postcognition. Or no, precognition. I understand Latin prefixes, I swear. We are also probably looking at otherworldly mythos, which is another D10. And we are looking at D8, because they're still in the yellow zone, correct?
Yep.
Cool. All right, let's see how it goes. All right, let's see. Our mid die is a 5.
Okay, so the action is going to succeed, but with a minor twist. Let's see. Oh, actually, hang on. You're trying to figure out what's bringing this forward?
Yes.
All right. Well, so actually the lava around that is, you know, as you're sort of looking up but then also having to mind your step, that's a -2.
It's true. Mm.
So that does bring us down to a 3, which is the action fails or succeeds with a major twist.
Oh, no.
Well, I think it's probably a matter. I think there's a certain proximity necessary for the eyes to work properly. Mm-hmm. So I think Holm has to get close enough to this semi-erupting volcano in order for the eyes to be effective. I think that puts him in not a great strategic position, but I think he's willing to maybe get a little singed and or cut off from the rest of the party in order to solve this mystery.
Okay, let's do that. So you get close and, you know, again, sort of stepping over lava, but like the lava worms are moving, gets worse kind of behind you. So you end up kind of almost isolated in this area. And what you do see, and we're going to check off a box on find out what's bringing it forward, is you're kind of able to follow sort of some of the, you know, that there's sort of almost a temporal linkage that your eye is able to almost trace around. And you can't necessarily tell where it is in space because you're focusing on the time. But you kind of see yourselves like finding this kind of like weird crystal device that actually is evocative design-wise to your eye. And you're sort of looking forward to when you've kind of figured this thing out. And on top of the device is a note, like a piece of paper. And you can't make out what it says, because again, things are a little shifting and weird and that sort of thing. Mm. But you could swear, Horatio Holm, that it is written in your own dang handwriting.
Whoa.
All right, let's leave it there for the week. Come back for our next episode to find out what's written on that note, whether Laughing Jack is an effective sidekick for a superhero, and how our heroes are going to deal with this whole volcano situation in general. This run, we've been playing Sentinel Comics, the role-playing game from Greater Than Games. You can find out more information at their website, greaterthangames.com. Team Up Moves is a production of Fiona Hopkins and Stephanie Burt, copyright 2022. You can find all of our shows from all of our runs and also subscribe to our monthly newsletter at teamupmoves.com. You can find us on Twitter as at teamupmoves or Mastodon as teamupmoves@dice.camp. For the rest of our social links, which are growing by the week, check the show notes for the latest. Our theme music is Play by Sleepyhead. Find more of their music at sleepyheadrockband.com. Finally, if you're listening this far, it sounds like you're into us enough to maybe tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. We thank you for your support and anything you can do to spread the word of our show. Until next week, take care, pals.